The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding. Good Wednesday morning, Masononians. Yes, indeed, the Doug and Wolf Show on a Wednesday, a Quasimodo Wednesday, broadcasting so you don't have to. Doug Lace, of course, and studio wife. Good morning, Doug Lace.
Good morning, Wolf.
Command and control, how are we doing this morning? I wave to you. I say good morning, Masononians, as you're coming in on the 60. Maybe it's out on the 101, the 303, wherever you may be on your way to Globe, Arizona.
No one's going to Globe this morning. You might be leaving from Globe.
Don't you feel like going to Globe? I mean, right now, honestly, don't you feel like going to Globe and, I don't know, having some barbecue?
Listen, I can tell you, this is not nearly, even with all the stuff we have to talk about today, this is not even remotely something on my mind. But as soon as you said this, I have to call BS on a good friend of the program, a gentleman by the name of Derek Hall.
Oh, no, D. Hall.
Who told us a long time ago that we are loved. The Doug and Wolf Show is loved in Douglas, Arizona.
Douglas.
And I didn't go to Douglas this year on vacation, but going to Tombstone, I was close enough.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way any of those people have any idea. They'll know who you are, but there's no way they have any idea who the Doug and Wolf Show
is.
No way. So I'm calling BS on his belief that Douglas, Arizona loves us.
You know what's so amazing about that, Douglas? I actually heard that they were getting ready to change their name to Doug Lease.
That is
Doug Lease, Arizona. Where do your thoughts go this morning when you allow yourself, Masononians, to jump around the sports world?
My thoughts go to kicking the shorts of 4-0, kicking the shorts about Marcus Gilbert, one of the most diehard listeners of the Doug and Wolf Show, and we might never see him play here in Arizona. My thoughts go to the kicking the shorts of what we just saw with Mad Bum again, and then I hated the fact that Torrey said, I'm not sending a message. When you bench everybody and the day after an off day in a 60-game season, and after all of these kicks in the shorts that we get, we at least got this. And, the big buildup, and I didn't plug in the green cord.
Rebound, Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time, 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot! He got it. And the Suns win the game.
Oh, my goodness.
All I do is win. Oh my goodness.
So early for this right now.
It is not too early. This city needs it. We need Book.
Everybody hands go up.
And they stay there.
Yeah.
And they say yeah.
You better believe it.
And they stay there.
Yeah.
Because all I do is win.
Wow.
And if you go in,
I'll tell you right now. We were talking about this very thing yesterday on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. What would happen? What would it look like if, in fact, the Phoenix Suns somehow, some way, found a way to go 3-0 in the bubble in Orlando by beating the Los Angeles Clippers?
Think about just in the neighborhood of this show, Wolf. Amin El-Hassan said, hey, it's nice that you won game one, but come on, the Wizards aren't going anywhere. The Dallas win was real, so he labeled that as real. Then let's move into the next show we have Bobby Marks on, the NBA front office insider, and I think he represented a lot of people when we asked him, what tier of superstar is Devin Booker?
I don't think he's a tier one guy, and there's not that many of those tier ones, right? The LeBrons, the Kawhi, the Kevin Durant, when he's healthy, there's probably, what, maybe four. Anthony Davis probably four.
Now, he did go on to say he's an all-star and sure. said specifically, and maybe every now and then an all-pro. Well, that's pretty much the height of tier two, and I don't think anybody's here to argue to say that he's Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James or something
right.
like that,
right.
but how do you get there? You get there by games like yesterday.
No, there's no doubt about it, Douglas. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the Suns base and audience. Ron Wolfley reporting, but I can tell you right now, I thought it was his best game ever as a pro. Best game ever. When you consider the context that he was playing in, a game that actually mattered.
Oh, yeah.
Best game as a pro.
And young Booker. Superstars learn to play defense. I mean, there was a series, and I am going game review, and I don't care about what any farmers think.
Just go with it.
There was a moment in this game in which he got locked in onto Kawhi Leonard defensively, and it's only one possession, but he shut Kawhi down and got the rebound, and then boom, went down the floor, hit a three. Suns got a steal, and Booker came down again and hit another three. And I guarantee you it was – there is a level of confidence that says, I just stopped – I don't care if it's only one play. I just stopped Kawhi Leonard, one of the game's best players. I stopped him. And the juice you get from that just gives you free-flowing muscle memory. Boom, here's my shot. Bam, that goes in. Now you're feeling it. It was a 6-0 Booker run that included defense. And when you see the final score, any Suns run was a huge point of the game.
Oh, yeah. Game review. That's right, D.A. Game review right now. Man, there's so much to say about this. Is there not based on means this, of course, and the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes? Oh, my goodness. We've got so much stuff to talk about.
It is
hyper-aggressive this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Take that, late June.
Yes.
Thank you.
How's that feel?
By the way, we've got a lot of negative stuff to talk about with the Diamondbacks, but let me say something unbelievably positive. When Mike Hazen took this job as the general manager, it was important to him that he helped also prepare staff for being promoted, for moving on in life. And he demanded that Jared Porter and Amiel Sade get their opportunities, and then our Diamondbacks front office segment would be rotated between the three. That way, they get opportunities to be present, to get their voices out, and to prepare themselves for when they're the guy with another organization. Today, it's another person's turn in the rotation. And all of a sudden, I look at our show sheet, and there's Mike Hazen's name there. The Diamondbacks aren't going to say this, but I guarantee you that was Mike Hazen stepping up and saying, we can't have one of the other guys take the heat for what's happened so far. Let me go out of turn.
Mm.
And I can't guarantee that. But that's the kind of person Mike Hazen is.
It sounds like Mike, yep.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a fun interview. I'll tell you right now, I like Mike Hazen.
Yeah.
I hope Mike Hazen never goes anywhere. I hope he signs a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
And I don't care how dumb I sound saying that in a three-win season so far when nobody is standing up for anybody in the front office.
He's a freaky Mike Hazen.
But he's a good general manager. I'll stand up for him. But I know I won't enjoy this interview at 8:45 because they stink, and we need to figure out why. I'm just so bummed. Thank goodness we have D-Book today. Starting five, it's brought to you by San Chevrolet. San Chevrolet, your home team for no payments until 2021 on select models. Head to sanchevrolet.com for details. Oh, yeah. It's 6:10, Bear.
It's time for your Arizona sports.
Lightning,
starting five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Lightning, Ben.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron
Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five
this morning, for the first time in the history of the Doug and Wolf Show, UConn has made the starting five. But UConn has just become the first FBS team to cancel football, as they have announced they are not playing football at all in the 2020 season. We'll see if that affects anybody else. Obviously, there's a lot of lower-rung games that are now canceled, but that's just Team A so far.
I didn't know they were still in the FBS.
Yes, they are.
Number four.
Number four, boy, did this hurt. Coyotes just aren't ready to play, and they get smashed by the Predators. The Coyotes dominated the first 2.5 minutes of the game, and then were never heard from again until the last minute.
The first period was the fulcrum, was it not?
Yes, it was. So they're a loser 4-2. In our hearts and minds, it was really 4-0. Game three, the pivotal game three, today, 11:30.
Number three!
Number three, Cliff Kingsbury has a press conference, announces no players have talked to him about opting out. Minutes after the press conference is over, Marcus Gilbert announces he's opting out, and now we've got a battle for right tackle.
Something tells me right now, maybe the Arizona Cardinals had an idea this could happen. Isn't that right, Kelvin Beachum?
Yeah.
Number two.
Number two. I know you just heard it, but here's number two.
Rebound Zubats. He loses it.
How did they get the ball back, by the way?
Rubio. Time. 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot. He got it.
How in the world did he get that over Paul George? How?
It wasn't just over Paul George either. Kawhi Leonard was right there as well.
Yeah, he was close enough.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
That was awesome.
Number one.
But the number one thing, and the reason why we chose it number one, the D-book thing is awesome, but when you combine the bad start, then an ace melting down, the bullpen not helping, the offense falling apart, and the manager pulling his players in the middle of the game, the combination of all that made that number one. And that's your starting five. Coming up next, oh, no. Are they dead? I'm serious. Are they dead? The Arizona Diamondbacks lose again. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Really appreciate Eddie Johnson, Suns analyst, former Sun. You can see him on Fox Sports Arizona. He does his own radio show nationally that starts in about an hour, and he still said, sure, I'll come on, and he's going to join us in about 15 minutes.
Oh, EJ, so fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool of Eddie Johnson, and I totally understand if you want to tweet us at Duggan Wolf 98.7 and just rip us for not putting Suns number one after how awesome it was last night. But I kind of stand by the decision. I think that when you have a team that is expected to 100% expected to be in the thick of the playoff chase all the way through. And I would say for most people, I would say about 80% of baseball prognosticators looked at them at the beginning of the season as a playoff team. And you combine the meltdown so far this season with the fact that their ace struggled once again, and this time in a major fashion, the offense is still asleep, and the bullpen just and then the manager in the sixth inning says, that's it. I've seen enough. I mean, the Diamondbacks, granted it's only one game, but the Diamondbacks threw in the towel. And I don't blame them. I want Mike Hazen to be like that. But this is, that to me clearly is the number one story.
What do you mean you want Mike Hazen to be like that, Doug Lease? I mean, Mike Hazen didn't have anything to do with that, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that was Torey Lovello that said he took five starters out of the lineup, wholesale replacement based on our needs in the sixth inning.
You're 100%. You're 100% correct in correcting me, because we have Mike Hazen on at 8:45, and okay. I have this huge sheet in front of me that says Hazen with about seven different questions that aren't going to be pleasant to ask. And I looked at it right when I was talking, so I have no idea why I said Mike Hazen.
I just wanted to know exactly why you might have said Mike Hazen right there when it was Torey Lovello.
But I'll kind of save myself and say, I want the whole organization like this. Because here's the thing. Torey, I love you, and I want you to be the manager here for a long time, and you're a good manager, and there's a lot of fans right now that hear me say that, and they're angry. That you want me to go after his head. And I'll tell you, I'll stand on the table for Mike Hazen and Torey Lovello. I think they're good at their jobs. And this is a player situation. However, that doesn't mean, Torey, you aren't dangerously close to Ken Whisenhunt territory, where every press conference is the same thing. We're going to get better. We're going to grind through this. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. There's been enough September meltdowns with this specific group of players that you no longer have our trust to say everything's going to be okay, because it hasn't been. You've got a team, when it gets thick, when there's a lot of pressure, they do not respond. And that's where we are. So I love what Torrey Lovello did yesterday.
Yeah.
He can say, hey, we're going to get better, we're going to grind through this, blah, blah, blah. But his actions speak louder than words, and to me, his actions spoke loudly yesterday.
See, and that's exactly right, Doug Lease. His actions speak louder than words. I don't need to hear Torrey Lovello rip his team. I don't need to hear it. As a player, as a former player, ladies and gentlemen, believe me, we all respected coaches that got up in front of the media and didn't throw all his players under the bus. Right, mm-hmm. His actions may have said something else in a game, right? Or he might have a one-on-one with you, a tete-a-tete, ladies and gentlemen, where suddenly you're face-to-face and he's ripping you. And maybe he's ripping you in front of your teammates. And I'm sure that's what Torrey Lovello has done. So I don't need Torrey Lovello to get up there in front of it because I know what a coach does. He's just going to get up there and he's going to say what he needs to say and get it out of the way, period. I want to know why Torrey made the wholesale changes that he made, the way that he did. What
I can
was
tell
the goal?
You, I can hit this button on my what we call iPad in the business, and I can tell you what if I have the green cord plugged in, and I can tell you what he said,
right?
Why he did that. The question is, does anybody believe him?
No. I don't send messages like that. I'll send messages directly face to face with guys and have those conversations. I just wanted to get some of our guys have been going every day a little bit more rest, get them off of their feet. So definitely wasn't the intent to send any type of message. I just wanted to maybe live to fight another day, let them watch some baseball, let the understudies get some at bats, some meaningful at bats. A couple of them are going to be playing tomorrow, and I just didn't want guys to get stale. So that was my way of accomplishing two things, getting the right guys the rest and getting the understudies a couple at-bats, get their at-bats tuned up.
That's totally full of crap.
See, I listen to Torrey Lovello right there based on Ains, and to me, once again, he can totally say that and mean it and believe it, period, and say that, you know, that wasn't a message. It wasn't a message at all. You know what it was? I told him they stink, and I sat him down. And I did it in front of everybody, including their teammates. And did you see the look on their faces?
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, he wasn't trying to send a message. He was just doing something. He could totally justify that in his mind where he's not lying, Doug Lease. He's not. He could sit there and I wasn't trying to send a message. I'm not trying to send any message to him. Are you kidding me? I'll tell him face to face. Absolutely. So I was trying to just, you stink. We're losing. I'm going to make changes. Seriously, listen, this is what coaches do so much of the time. Once again, raise the ceiling, raise the ceiling, raise the ceiling. And if you're not getting it done, I realize, see, we don't see this very often in baseball. We don't see it because there's 162 games. This 60-game season has changed the entire dynamic. Mm-hmm. Dare I say the essence of the game of baseball. And we talked about this. This was my biggest fascination, Basinonians, with this 60-game season in the game of baseball, was how players were going to mentally adjust to it. I think we're seeing it right now from the Diamondback players.
I think this is – I can't wait to have Mike Hazen on at 8:45 because I think these are the questions that they might not be looking at right now, but they will be. When you have a total organizational meltdown from – not as much the bullpen, but at times, but from your starting pitching minus your number five starter and your most of your entire offense. To me, there's only one of two things. Either you have poorly prepared players for the season, and you've got to look at every aspect of the organization. What were they doing during the shutdown? What were you doing to get them ready during summer camp? Mm-hmm. Where did you fail compared to all the other organizations? Or, I hate to say it, you got guys that can't handle it. You got guys that can't handle the pressure. How many Septembers? Mike Hazen, for the whole time he's been here, has put teams on the field that are competitive into late August, that are going into September with an opportunity to go to the playoffs. And how often have those teams fallen on their face? At some point, it's not the numbers. It's the actual human being that's in there that cannot handle this kind of pressure. And I think they had a lot of meetings and a lot of conversations on how important it is to start off fast. And as soon as they went 1-3, everybody started gripping. And they got guys that couldn't handle it. And if you're Mike Hazen, I don't want to tear down. I don't want – I want to win a World Series, but not bad enough to lose 107 games three straight years. I don't believe in tanking. I don't believe in the Houston Astros method at all. But Mike Hazen, why come back with this particular core group if you see example F that they cannot handle pressure?
Listen, the D-backs have guys that are letting the context of the 60-game season change their approach to their profession. That's what I think is going on right now.
And would you believe that's succumbing to pressure then?
And it could be, Douglas. Yes, it could be. But I don't judge them for that. As a pro, you've been trained to compete with a certain temperament your entire career. These guys since Little League, for the crying out loud, they've been trained to compete with a temperament. And what that temperament is one of patience for the most part. And now you have to compete in a different context and change that temperament?
Mm-hmm.
That is a difficult thing to do, Basinonis. You know what it would be like in the game of football? It would be like a situation where you never hit at all in preseason. You didn't hit at all. And then suddenly week one came around and you were trained to hit. What? We didn't do any hitting in training camp whatsoever. Guess what? And by the way, guess what's going to happen here? The Arizona Cardinals, I believe, have six padded practices. Six. Wow. What's that going to do to the mentality? We're going to see.
The last 24 hours, you have the manager coming on Burns and Gambo and saying Dalton Varsho is going to be the designated hitter. Then game time starts, and he's not the designated hitter. He's in left field. Then you have Mad Bum not pitching like an ace. Then you have the pulling of the starting lineup at the top half of the sixth inning. And put all of that into perspective that happened within 24 hours of Steve Gilbert, the D-backs reporter, being asked by us, what does it look like? Just a minute, Steve. What does it look like if a manager hits a panic button?
I think when you see somebody do something that's totally outside of their nature.
And listen, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Sitting around and saying, "Oh, we'll be okay," and doing nothing is not an option here. So I don't like what people. I'm done with the phrase "panic button" in the sense as if it's a bad thing. When you stink, do something about it. And right. They stink.
And I don't care what you say at the press conference. It's your actions that matter to me, Doug Lease.
And guess what? Look at all those actions.
Exactly.
Diamondbacks got to get it right. They take on the Houston Astros today. You can hear the game right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And guess who's on the mound? Robbie Ray. Robbie, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Coming up next. Wow. Is it, like, really the shot heard around the world, or is it just heard in Maricopa County?
Rebound Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time, 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot.
Oh! What happened? We'll talk to Eddie Johnson next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
DJ.
Well, I don't know about you, but if I was doing play-by-play...
Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot!
He got it! At the end of that game yesterday between the Suns and the L.A. Clippers, I would have said this. I would have said, folks, if you didn't know, now you know. That's what I would have said. I think that would have been cool.
I see.
Eddie Johnson is joining Doug and Wolf, Suns color analyst. Eddie, what would you have said?
That's a good one, Doug. I should have thought of that. That's a good one, man.
What's up, Doug?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wolf, you may not realize that's exactly what Eddie said.
Of course, well, I figured as much, Douglas, honestly.
Okay. Let me write that down.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a Dougism.
Yes, it is.
So, Eddie, just go ahead, and I want to get your general reaction to the Suns being 3-0 in the bubble in Orlando.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
Look, the Suns went down there. Were we glad that they got an invitation? Of course.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it continues the season. It allows this team to gel. I truly believe, and I've experienced it, that when you finish a season on a good note, it carries over to the next season. It truly does. I can name a number of years where I was on losing teams, and it culminated into us having a winning team the following year. So it was something that I felt was needed. I was excited that they got invited. I said when it happened, I said, you know, the chances don't look good, that they would have to have a tremendous record down there. Things would have to fall their way. And lo and behold, that's what's happening. What's happening right now, things are falling their way. And it started even before they got there, guys. I mean, you know, the Aaron Fox got hurt for Sacramento. Marvin Bagley got hurt. Aldridge got hurt. So a lot of things with the teams that were on top of them were starting to happen, right? Portland, mm-hmm. we didn't know. They were bringing back guys from injury. And so I just felt that if they got off to a good start and got close, they could see the light at the end of the tunnel, that would catapult them to thinking, man, maybe we have a chance. And so right now they have a chance. I mean, and obviously yesterday the announcement that Jaren Jackson Jr. from Memphis is not going to play the rest of the year because of a knee injury pretty much now gives the Suns an opportunity if they can keep winning.
Eddie Johnson, Suns color analyst on Fox Sports Arizona, joining Doug and Wolf. Eddie, if Booker makes that shot in mid-April, early April in downtown Phoenix, the city's excited. Good job, D Book. But the rest of the world is looking at it and saying the Clippers weren't trying, they didn't care, it doesn't matter. Nobody would have paid attention. When you drop that game into a bubble, and it's on the East Coast, and everybody's heard how good the Clippers are, and you shoot it over Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, now what? How is that moment different going forward for Devin Booker's career? And I mean publicity-wise, because we, like you said, even though I was teasing you, we already know. Now what does it mean that everybody else does?
Yeah, you're right. The Clippers probably would have been trying to basically, you know, run the season out. They would have been probably limiting guys' minutes and all of that. But this situation is different because players are trying to get themselves back in top-notch shape. They're excited to play basketball again. And so we see the effort being exhibited out there. So we know they weren't going through the motions. We saw the defense that they were applying on Devin. They were switching off Kawhi and Paul George on him continuously. We saw the fact that they didn't want the Suns to win. They were very emotional during the game as well. And so people see that. You know, people that's watching the game, they see it. Like, if you would watch the Milwaukee-Brooklyn game, you would have said, Brooklyn won, but Giannis only played 15 minutes. Chris Middleton didn't play. Neither one played in the second half, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But, no, the Clipper game was more, it was like, no, they're balling. This is real. And everyone knew also that the desperation of the Suns, that, you know, this is like a playoff game for them. And, yeah, when he hit that shot, you're right. I mean, just being nationally televised as well on NBA TV and people seeing this, oh, man. Yeah, they people have fallen in love with Devin Booker as well. I think they see a lot of players in him. Obviously, first come to mind is Kobe, right, because of his relationship with Kobe. And just the way that he scores, man. I mean, he's not one of them shy scorers where, you know, he's taking jumpers away from people. No. He takes them right in your grill. And I think, you know, people like that because that's something that if you play basketball, it's very difficult to do. To make a ton of shots where the guy's right there in your face and it just doesn't matter. And I think people gravitate toward that.
Eddie, I'm a big guy on context, right? Where it was, where this game was, what it meant, who you were playing, all these variables, I think it comes together, and I'm big on context. And when I look at Devin Booker and the game that he played yesterday within that context, I thought it was the best game I've ever seen him play in his career. What say you?
I said before the telecast, Wolf, that, you know, he accepts challenges. And, you know, Kawhi and Paul George, they come into the game and they're known as great defenders. I made note that they're going to really focus on Devin. But I also said it doesn't matter because I've always said, people that even listen to telecasts and just hear what I tell them, that I don't care how great your defense is, when you're dealing with great offense usually wins.
Mm.
And so you might make the guy work harder, and you can tell Devin works harder, but ultimately still drop 35 plus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. When you can score the ball, I don't care. And Paul George will turn around on the other end, and he'll say the same thing. Mm. Because both of him, he and Kawhi are tremendous offensive players. They'll say the same thing. And so I think with Devin's concentration and his willingness to continue to prove to people how good he is, he always ramps himself up. And if you've been around him enough, you know it, because he's got a stoic look about him, so you can't tell with the emotion. But, man, you look in his eyes, man, and you can just tell when he's concentrating, when he's just looking, man. He wants to, like, and he's a killer. That's all. He's just killer. A killer, man. Yeah, he's a killer.
Eddie, I'm going to ask you an impossible question because it's so hard to narrow
There's
it
no
down.
No question impossible.
Okay, here you go then.
Something about the Diamondbacks right now.
That's true. And by the way, just so everybody knows, I deserve that because the Cubs are the best team in baseball, and notice I haven't brought it up to Eddie. And I deserve the D-back slam there. But why are the Suns 3-0 in the bubble? And when you've only got 15 minutes before your show starts, so I know you're a little busy. How are they 3-0?
They're getting a great team effort. Think about what the bench has done in the last two games. I mean, mm-hmm. Devin and DeAndre foul out, and the bench just steps up and turns it on. Dario Saric has really embraced the fact that he was taken out of the lineup, and he's come off the bench, and he's played fantastic. Cameron Payne has come from nowhere. A guy trying to prove himself, has a lot of confidence from Monty Williams. He's made big shot after big shot.
Mm.
Look at what Mikal Bridges is doing. Mikal Bridges will be a first-team all-defender in this league. He is tremendous at that, but also he's learning how to score. So he's scoring points. Their big guys are battling inside. Frank Kaminsky coming back from injury. He's battling inside. DeAndre, a force in the paint, being respected now if you back off of him from three. I mean, all these things are culminating for this team. And guess what? If they don't go to the bubble, we don't see this.
Yep.
We don't see this maturation of what we can hopefully see next year and take it to another level.
Yep.
So, but most importantly, it's the coaching of Monty Williams.
I
mean, how
you.
He has gotten these guys to believe that they can win. And that's what you want from your coach. You just want that belief in you as a player, even when you're struggling a little bit, right? You want that belief. Case in point, Mikal Bridges, maybe last year, beginning of the year, if he, you know, he had a good game, but if he struggled the next game, he probably wouldn't get those minutes. He's getting minutes regardless now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives him an opportunity to turn it around within the game. So he was struggling first with his shot, and then but Monty stayed with him, and then he started making his shot. He would never have gotten that opportunity to prove that probably in the past. So these are the good things that's happening for this team, and it's all really led by Devin and DeAndre Ayton. If they play at a high level every night, it makes it easy for the other guys.
Thanks, Eddie.
Eddie, thank you, man.
Busy,
really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, I got a trade for you. I got a trade for you, Doug.
Okay.
We'll send you all Craig Kimball for anybody.
Unfortunately, after that sixth inning yesterday, Torrey might trade half of them to you.
Oh.
On that one. Love you, Eddie. You're great. Have a good show.
Thank
you, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Man, I deserve that. All the crap I've given Eddie Johnson over the years for his Cubs, and now they're a dominant force at my team. Stinks. Eddie's solid on that. Man, has Monty shown an awful lot. One bad half in the third scrimmage, and that's it. This team has been balling, and they came ready into the bubble to compete.
So much to say about this.
Coming up next, the head coach says that's our starter. The head coach says no one's come to talk to me about opting out. The starter opted out. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf with Wolf, Baron, Maloney, all live in the Oxygen Community Studios.
What
I'm
up?
In Studio Wife on the west side, and Paul Calvisi is on the east side this morning. And Paul, I got to tell you, I could use your help if you don't mind on something.
Well, I'm the guy. I've already fixed a failing Wi-Fi this morning, so bring it, Doug. I'm ready.
Impressive. Yep. The reason why I can tell you, you have something that I need, and this is what I'm referring to. Yesterday, I was listening to the Fox Sports Arizona broadcast of the Arizona Diamondbacks game, and I have to tell you, I found something highly entertaining, and I want to know if you've ever experienced something like this in your broadcast career. As yesterday, in my opinion, the best baseball color analyst was talking to us about how Mad Bum can handle some of the issues that are going on right now.
He's got good enough command. He knows how to use his pitches. He's got a game plan against every hitter. The lack of velocity, I think, will be offset by his command, the ability to put the pitches where he wants.
Didn't want to get that one there to Correa. Altuve homered in the first, and now Correa in the second, and it's 2-0 Houston.
BB.
His velo is a concern. He didn't deny it. Yep. It's a concern. But, hey, he's a good pitcher. He can command the ball. Is there ever been a time in your life, have you ever heard of a worse announcer jinx, even all the patch factors, than that one?
Well, don't make us go through the patch factors. Right. I mean, before LeVar Ball was ever speaking it into existence,
right?
Dave Pasch was making it happen on Cardinals broadcast. See, that's why sports is the original reality TV. You can surmise and speculate, but you can't control. And so you can theorize and predict and project, but you have no idea what's happening next. That's what makes it great reality TV. Yes.
So, number one on the list from the files of Paul Calvisi.
That's the great thing about Evan Edger and James, too. The guy's not a fumbler, David. He doesn't put it on the ground very often.
They're out of the eye with James, and he gets it off the right side, but then he gets stuck right in the legs at the 41-yard line. And the ball's loose. It's fumbled and picked up by the Bears. Tillman at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Chicago.
Stop it.
Did I just say that? Oh, my goodness.
Just stop it right there. First of all, the whistle should have blown. Are you kidding me? His forward progress was totally stopped. You got to be kidding me. Blow the whistle, Zebra.
The reason the whistle didn't blow is because you were blowing your top about how the guy never fumbles.
Well,
so obviously the wolf factor comes into play right there.
Yeah, but you know it is the Pasch factor, Paulie. You know it better than anybody. Dave Pasch, if he says it, look out.
Well, unfortunately, did things go 3-for-3 for the Arizona Cardinals? Because is there such thing as a coaching type of jinx? Cliff Kingsbury last week.
We discussed that. We want to see how Marcus looks. He says he feels the best he's felt in a long time, having all these extra months of rehab, not being forced back anything. May be huge for him. And so he has been a really good player in this league a long time. And if he can start off at that level, then he's going to slide right back in there at right. But we're excited to have some options too.
So therefore, okay, he's your starter. If he's healthy, he's going to slide right back in there. And then, first question yesterday in the press conference, has any players talked to you about possibly opting out?
I have not had those discussions. That's obviously an area that we respect and understand.
And then minutes after the press conference, Marcus Gilbert opts out. Wait, how did all this happen?
There was something coordinated or orchestrated there. There's no doubt about it. But if you go back to the comment from last week, which I forgot about, and at the very end where he said, we also have options, .. Are we saying that they didn't sign Kelvin Beachum with this possibility in mind? I mean, the first thing I thought of when this news came out was, that makes sense as to why they signed Kelvin Beachum seemingly out of nowhere, a guy with 99 career starts under his belt, a guy who most definitely could slide into one of the tackle spots, even though he's been predominantly a left tackle, and there's obviously a position change at hand right now for him to go to right tackle. But I feel a lot better about Marcus Gilbert opting out that that they signed Kelvin Beachum, are we telling there isn't cause and effect somewhere in there in a connection?
See,
I'm with you, Paul.
For me, guys, I can tell you right now, although I totally agree with it, just what you're saying about Kelvin Beachum, I thought the exact same thing, Paulie. But here we go. Why are we signing? Oh, and that's why we signed Kelvin Beachum right there with 99 career starts. No doubt about it. I don't care if Cliff Kingsbury knew about it or didn't know about it. It's the fact of the matter. It's the fact that Marcus Gilbert did opt out. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're never going to judge anybody. Are we? Are we not? We're never going to judge anybody that chooses to opt out in this pandemic, right? Those are very personal
reasons.
And
he said in
a
statement he was opting out for high risk situations, both his health and he says his there's some issues with his family.
I'm not questioning Marcus Gilbert in any way, shape, or form for opting out. What I am talking about is, man, that sucks, buttermilk.
And when they signed Kelvin Beachum, we all kind of scratched our head. I know I did. I'm like, well, that's some serious depth at the tackle position. What does that mean? And we surmised at the time, well, with a lack of an offseason and no ability to get Josh Jones out on the field, can you really trust or count on a rookie to be that edge guy on your offensive line?
Known commodities, Paul.
And so I figured, well, Kelvin Beachum was because perhaps Josh Jones, along with most of the other rookies in the NFL, are going to have a serious learning curve in front of them, and you can't count on them. You want to know the known, as you said. Well, but as it turns out, maybe it wasn't Josh Jones, but they might have had a hint Marcus Gilbert was deliberating and trying to decide.
Our O-line expert, Max Starks, on Beachum.
I think Kelvin comes in and he automatically brings the stability and depth for this offensive line. I think having Kelvin available now gives Josh Jones more room to focus on either one tackle position, or it eases the learning curve because you come in with a guy who's already ready-made to slide in as your swing tackle. If anything happens to Gilbert, anything happens to DJ, Kelvin can come in and play either of those tackle positions for you.
I don't know if Cliff is this way, but I know some coaches feel like there's a difference between being a backup on game day and a backup at the beginning of the week. Meaning, if I'm in a game and I lose somebody, I want to get the veteran out there and not have my rookie learning on the fly. But if you give me a whole week to get my rookie ready, well, then maybe I feel like he might deserve a shot or he might be ready. And Beachum has got to make Cliff feel a lot better if somebody goes down, and that's why you sign him. Now, nobody went down. They're just not there. And Beachum is what, probably the starter?
Maybe, yeah, Wolf, what do you think? Justin Murray got a dozen starts last year and was the most improved player on the roster.
Absolutely. I think, once again, when it's all said and done, maybe he's going to get the opportunity to start because he's a known commodity. I think Justin Murray, to Paulie's point, I think you're right. He's a known commodity right now. I doubt it's going to be Josh Jones. I doubt they're going to take him and just throw him out there week one, right, without any training camp per se, without any preseason games. Per se, I look at it and think that's going to be a really difficult situation to take Josh Jones and throw him out there. Having said all of that, I'm still going back to this does not make the Arizona Cardinals better. The loss of Marcus Gilbert,
No.
It does not make them better, and that stinks.
But they're not the only ones. The Giants lost Nate Solder. They're going with the rookie Andrew Thomas at left tackle from the get-go. I know the Browns, Kevin Stefanski was saying that Jedrick Wills out of Alabama, the rookie, he's going to be their starting left tackle. So,
but I could care what those guys do. You know what I'm saying, Paul? Whatever. I'm just talking about
for
the Cardinals.
Well, to Paul's point, though, Wolf, it does seem like, and they're starting to become a little bit of a trend, whether it's because of body mass index or whether it's because this is the one position that there's no way to avoid droplets, that there seems to be a lot of D tackles and a lot of O linemen that are saying, you know what, this doesn't make sense to play in this.
And I think it's because there's people that they're living with that might have comorbidities well. And,
you know, I'd go with Kelvin Beachum straight up, but if he's got to change positions from left to right tackle, that puts him behind the eight ball, and he doesn't know the playbook like Justin Murray. So honestly, now that I think about it, I'd put Justin Murray as the guy to beat a right tackle right now.
Coming up next.
Oh, my goodness.
No. That's something else.
Wolf
coming
was
up next
set up.
Actually, that's kind of in that exactly how we felt when the entire lineup got yanked in the sixth inning. Oh, my goodness. Diamondbacks Astros next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf Factor.